Roll call, please.
Chairman Gintz.
Here.
Supervisor Kubicki.
Here.
Supervisor Rose.
Here.
Supervisor Hellman.
Present.
Supervisor Esposito. Supervisor Brunig.
Here.
Supervisor Elderman.
Yes.
Youth and Governance Bariglio and Grohl.
Let the record show Supervisor Esposito called in, and he is excused. This time we'll open it up to citizens' comments. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Seeing nobody, citizens' comments are closed. Chair, Supervisor, and Youth and Governance comments. Any comments? Supervisor Brunig.
Next month, you will have two resolutions in your packet that were not on the agenda for tonight. They are to honor our past board members that have passed away because they didn't get on the agenda this month. This is just a more of a housekeeping resolution to quantify the number of years for when we plant trees for our past board members, since we've been doing that lately. Just an FYI.
So that is, we have something that we discussed on how we're going to qualify, is that what you're saying? So you actually came up with a
resolution, yeah.
A theory on how we're going to qualify?
Yes, I did. I actually did research on the number of, the average number of years for the supervisors and the ones that have passed on, so 14 years sounds like a good number.
Okay, that'll be on another agenda. Anything else, Supervisor Brunig?
I get a couple of trees.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait a minute, is that in the resolution?
Hide
her. This way, the last tree that was planted, I donated because the county wouldn't pay for it.
There you go.
So that's the only one I remember.
You have to plant your own then.
Pick your own tree out then.
The only one I remember us planting was for Dick Langer.
You know, we did one for Leonard Johnson.
Are these marked somewhere? Or?
Yeah, with a big plaque. I don't know.
I
don't
know.
We did one for Leonard Johnson,
and we just are planning on doing one for Cody Ross, right?
That's where the question came up. Yeah. But who paid for it?
At this point, it'll come before us. Next month.
Right.
So, thanks for opening up that can of worms here.
You're
welcome. Somebody else have anything else? Supervisor Ullman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last week I attended NACO, the National Association of Counties. I learned a great deal while on that trip. The first thing I'll say is there are 3,069 counties in this nation, and when they go to their senators and their congressmen and women and say, this is what we need with a unified voice, they listen. And that was extraordinarily impressive, is to go on the Hill and have some of those meetings about what we as Wisconsin, particularly what we as Kenosha need, and to see the response from our delegation there. I also sat through a day-long presentation, a series of presentations on technology and county government, and I'm in the process of pulling a few things together. So that's all I'll say for now.
Anybody else? Okay, with that, that section's closed. Communications, I don't believe we have any of those. Approval of the February 12th, 2013 minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Supervisor Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Elverman. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, those minutes are approved. Update on Joint Services Software Project. Tom, if you'd like to take the seat. What I wanted to do here, and I'll give you a little background, is we had a presentation from Delta Works, the consultant company that was hired by Joint Services last week, and it was a very good presentation. It lasted about 45 minutes with all the questions, comments, etc. I'm not having Tom sit here and do that. What he's going to do is give a brief outline of where we're at so that the leaders of our county board are up to speed with where we're at in the process, what's going on, what feedback we have. I just wanted a quick update, and then if you have any questions on that, we'll go from there. Tom.
Thank you. I also have Rhonda Maney, who's the manager of the records department, and Mike Logic, the assistant manager of the communications department, since they're very big departments involved in this whole process. They can answer a lot of the technical questions that I may not be able to. As the chairman said, we hired a consultant firm out of California, DeltaWorks. They specifically deal with the purchase and the evaluation of public safety software systems. That's all that they do. They came in and they did an analysis of our current system, a business needs assessment of it. That document was delivered, and in there they talked about the procurement strategies, the scoping strategy for a future system. We looked at what we currently have, and the system is huge, it's old, and is inefficient. The things that they brought out time and time again is the inefficiencies of the system. It starts with our mobile system, which is in critical need of replacement. It is outside of federal mandates. It is unstable, shuts down like once a day on the police officers and are unable to use their mobiles in the cars. That definitely needs to be replaced. It then went on to look at the RMS, the records management system, the CAD system, and again, much of what they put in there, and I just put a quote in there, and it essentially says, got some of my quotation marks, the inefficiencies, excuse me, I did put a quote in there, I can't find it right now. Essentially, it says that for a modern, there are so many inefficiencies in there that it just does not supply functionalities of a modern law enforcement system. And again, if you read the assessment, it's not the age of it, it's just the inefficiencies. It's inefficient on so many levels that it doesn't supply those modern features. The business needs assessment went on to assess various levels of their, again, the mobile system definitely needs to be replaced. It's in critical condition. Much of the whole RMS system, the records management system, is really the foundation for this. All the information feeds into the system, and that is inefficient. It's not user-friendly, as DeltaWorks described it. It is not intuitive in any way. It becomes very difficult to manage all this data that is put into there. Ultimately, they put forward a couple recommendations on the scoping and the going about finding a replacement system. Because there are so many agencies that utilize this, what they recommended and what has been unanimously approved by the steering committee, which is a member of each of the different agencies that utilize the system, is for Joint Services to send out an RFP, request for proposal, to look at replacing the entire system. A couple caveats are in there is that the jail management system is very unique to jail. The fire management record system is unique to fire. So they would be looking at potentially bringing in outside companies to supply their modules to put into the entire software system, all of it to be linked together to be interfaced to look at replacing the entire system. I could go on for quite a while, if you'd like, talking about some of what's missing in this system, some of the inefficiencies. Perhaps one thing I would like to touch on is the field reporting system. Field reporting system has been around since the 1990s. It's been mainstream since the 2000s. Kenosha does not have a field reporting system. Essentially what it is the officers can complete reports in their squads at a desktop in the police department, fire the sheriff's department, and then all of these records become digital. They prevent errors. They kind of monitor the system. They have pull downs so that you're not duplicating efforts. You're not duplicating records. It becomes searchable digitally, which isn't available right now. Like I said, it's essentially something that is in every law enforcement agency throughout the United States. Right now, Kenosha does not have one. Kenosha has planned to have one since early 2000s. The software that we have just does not support this type of system. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have or go into any other directions that Delta Works went into. Jeff, you were there?
Yeah, at this point, what I'd like to say is I'd like to back up and go back to, I don't think anybody at the table really is going to question whether we need it or not. So that's not the point. I think what we had in the past, we had a individual whose firm, Ralph Evans, started a study, and unfortunately he had a lot of knowledge in his mind and couldn't communicate it to us. What needed to be done. He ultimately said just about the same thing, but in a way that nobody understood. So what we wanted to do, and we didn't have the buy-in of the end users, okay? He never did any management of the change management systems or anything like that. So what we did was we backed up and we said, all right, we need somebody who can professionally do this, do a thorough analysis study. So basically they came up, he referenced a committee that's really a group of all the end users, from the sheriff, the police, the fire, all that type of stuff, records, you know, evidence, everybody had somebody in there to analyze this. And so they did everything from ride-alongs to going in and interviewing, and they did a very thorough and very good job of creating this needs assessment, where we are, what we need to do, and ultimately what they did get was the buy-in of everybody. So even some of the naysayers from before that, you know, couldn't see their way to working with everybody to try to get the best system possible, all bought into the fact that, hey, you know, this is a good idea to look at this, we'll see what comes back and go from there. And that's one of the things I'm very happy with, is the fact that everybody said, hey, this, the way they're doing this is a good way to proceed. So we did get the evaluation, the needs assessment, and then the next phase is going to the RFP, which they're going to put forward come summer. Okay, that's the next phase in this. And when they do that, Tom mentioned a little bit about they're going to allow people to bid on the core of four functions, and then have the other two, the jail and the fire, out there. And we're going to try to get everybody to bid inclusively, but we are going to allow them to bid out separate pieces to make sure we look and listen to every possible option out there. But there's only going to be one group that's going to oversee it at the end, because we were concerned on the Joint Services Board that you'd have, you know, somebody doing this and somebody doing this, not answerable to each other, and then their software wasn't able to communicate, and all, we'd all get all kinds of crap. So that's not going to happen. We're looking for one individual group to handle this, but allow, you know, a couple maybe different bids. So, and I agree with the flexibility of doing it that way. Hopefully we'll get an all-inclusive bid. We'll see how it goes. But they're in the process right now of taking all the information from the needs assessment and putting it into RFP form. They're working with Carol O'Neill on that and some of the other people with the county. So that is the next step. I just wanted to bring everybody up to date on, you know, where we've gone, how, what the next steps are, see if there's any questions, and go from there. So is that pretty much what you saw?
That's what I heard, yeah. Okay. Did a great job on that. I attended with the rest of the individuals in that joint service meeting last week. It was very informative for me to get a handle on what's going on. Mr. Gunther is leading a great ship there, and I think everything's going to be just fine once this thing gets implemented. So,
any questions?
How old is our current software?
It was installed. The system was installed in 1982. There have been updates that have come in periodically, and you know that's part of the, this whole thing is customized. To update, it takes over a year at a time. Part of the customization is as good as it is bad because of the number of problems that it brings forward.
And what about the software? The jail, you say, and the fire is separate, and how old are those?
They were all brought in 1982, 1984, and they continued with the updates. Essentially, the system was installed in 82, 84, and then the updates have continued periodically over those years.
So you couldn't update the current?
The problem is is, and it gets a little technical. The different updates, if you look at, you know, everybody's kind of familiar with Word. You have Word 1, Word 2, Word 7. We've had these updates there, Cisco 1, Cisco 2. We are now up to Cisco 12. We've had the source code for it, which has allowed us to make individual tweaks to it. Again, good and bad. It's allowed us to design it to our specific needs. The problem has been is that you change something over here, all of a sudden you have unintended consequences over here. So Cisco, which is the maker of the system, will not allow us to continue to use the source code on any version past 12. So if we were to go to Cisco 14, which is the next version, we would essentially have to redo the whole system, much of what we're doing right here. So it's not upgradable past Cisco, or version 12.
So this 14, you see, I'm not familiar with all of this, but this 14, why wouldn't that be a good idea?
It potentially is a viable option. But what we would be doing, if we went to Cisco 14, it would probably cost us as much if we went to a different version, a different provider. And so we're going to, we anticipate that Cisco would be bidding on this. They certainly have the option, as would any other provider. Mm-hmm. And so they would be looked at in this RFP as anybody else. They may be the best one, but it would be replacing the whole system just as we would anyone else. It's just not going to be plug and play and rewrite this next version over what we have. And part of it is because of the source code and the different customization. And as this company has gone in different directions from what we were so many years ago. It gets very technical.
Yeah, and the people who put the system in 82 aren't even in business anymore. So, I mean, we have nowhere to go to, you know, to get an evaluation of the system. And what it, what's been doing is you have different groups morphing in a different way. I mean, the jail, the sheriff's department feels like they have it the way they want it because they've been able to customize it and do certain things. But yet, you know, records is suffering because we've got log jams of trying to get that stuff in. We can't do the you know, field reporting. We got computers shutting down on the officers out in the field. So, you know, while you try to band-aid and fix one certain thing, there's other things that are failing. So at some point in time, we need to take a step back and analyze everything and look at what our options are, and that's what we're doing now.
Supervisor, I'm not too computer literate, so I'm going to ask a question that might be stupid, but all of the old information that we've got, is that going to be transferable into the new system? Or are we going to have to maintain the system to get all the old records?
It's a very big question. It's a very good question. It's essentially called data conversion, and when you look at bringing in a new system, one of the big price tags that come along is data conversion. And decisions have to be made how much data we want to convert. Do we want to convert all 30 years? Is that usable? 10 years? 5 years? And much of that becomes a business needs. Certainly we would want to convert some of that data if we need, I don't believe we need all 30. As we choose to convert more data, essentially the price would come, would go up with that. And that, again, would be some of the recommendations of our consultants that we're working with. They have different scenarios, very similar to us, where they said, you know, some groups have decided to do all 30 years, and some have just gone back 2 years with the possibility of having this data available to you. So it is an issue that will have to be an addressed.
Any other questions for Tom? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Supervisor Brunig, Counter Country Thunder Impact Study. New glasses. They're killing me. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so, Terry, do you need a paper? You
have yes.
A paper copy?
You
want a paper?
Thank
paper
you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you okay with your
I'm
paper copy?
Okay,
everyone's got one.
Where
okay?
is the digital copy?
It was sent with the packet.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
It was.
Really? Because I don't have one.
Oh,
I'll share this with
you. Yeah, with your attachment.
Yeah, he'll. Terry's a good guy. He'll share.
This is a written one.
Okay, so.
The written always works. It's right here.
Do you know how this works?
Okay, so for those of you that weren't here when we originally started talking about this, this has been coming for several years now. The original purpose of this was to get an idea of what the economic impact on Kenosha County was by having this Country Thunder here for 4 days every summer out in Twin Lakes. We've always wondered whether or not we were getting our fair share, if there was anything that we could go and ask for, if there was any way to have them provide anything else to our county. If you've had a chance to read the executive summary, unfortunately, the way that this has turned out, we are kind of stuck now. And the reason why I say that is because we have nothing to go back to Brian on now. While we had thought that maybe Country Thunder was making above and beyond their share and that there might have been an opportunity for us to go back and ask him for additional money or compensation to the county, this study shows that we are not, or that we're already getting enough money staying here in Kenosha County. So as I look through this, one of the first things that came to mind was that they included Genoa City in the snapshot, which actually is in Walworth County, particularly the Jones property, which is in Genoa City, that's actually included in Walworth County. But they were considered as part of being inside Kenosha County when they did the study. Now, 690 respondents out of 30,000, that gives us a 2.2% response rate, which isn't the greatest, but they, I don't know, they thought it was a great response. For a 4 day festival, it costs about $400 for a ticket, for the tickets to get in, about $100 a day for a ticket. And I'm just having a hard time. When this was presented to us, I had a lot of questions about how they came up with the money that was staying here, because I just don't understand, and Jeff, you mentioned it too, with this one comment over here about the indirect purchased inputs, firm profits, and labor income. And I mentioned before, as some of you got here, that they were talking about how the grocery store in Twin Lakes probably had a lot more profit at the time, but they did not increase their employees. They didn't open any earlier, and they didn't close any later. So it was just pure profit to the store owner. That's great, but we don't know. I don't know who the store owner is, and I don't know if he lives in Kenosha County. He probably.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, does he? Okay, you would know.
It's the Richards. It has been for about 80 years.
Okay. But that's just one place, one business that we know of. A lot of the hotels that are listed on the Country Thunder website are listed for McHenry County because that's the closest area that has hotels. Mm-hmm. When we think of Twin Lakes, there aren't any real hotels out there. There's nothing out there. So unless you're camping, you're going to McHenry County, which is the closest hotel area to that location, to that venue. So
actually, they ran shuttles, though.
They did run
most
shuttles.
Most of them were along I-94 and Highway 50.
Right.
They ran shuttles.
Yes. Yeah, and they did run the shuttles. But I don't believe that there were that many people that were staying out here. They all wanted to stay out there. Most of the people that were there for the 4 days are camping, and you can bet that when you go camping and you're staying on site, you're taking all the food with you that you possibly can, because you don't want to have to try to drive somewhere, especially if you're going to be drinking for 4 days. You don't want to get in a car and start driving around. There were sheriff's deputies that were stationed right there checking people going in and out. So I know that people don't want to be driving in and out of there. So unless anyone has any questions, Brian has a copy of this, unfortunately.
Who is Brian, by the way?
Brian is the promoter of Country Thunder.
Oh, I see. I'm not on a first name basis with it. What?
Well, I think what we should do with this is people should absorb it. If we want to make any recommendations to the judiciary and law and to the county board, we'll make recommendations. But I think there's a whole lot of information in here tonight. We're going to start debating what we do to the country town or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to receive and file.
Right. So I'd make a motion that we receive this. We can bring it back for further discussion.
Okay.
Do you have a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
It's been moved to receive and file. This
report. I've said a few before.
Yeah, that's forward fine. Seconded by Supervisor Brunig. Discussion.
How many other spots in the country does this particular Brian, as you know him to be, function? And you said something in Texas, something in Arizona,
just
or
one
just
in
this one in Arizona?
This one in Arizona. Yep.
And I guess the question I have is what does Arizona County or wherever this thing is held at, do they have any fees or anything outside of what's presented here? What happens there? In other words, they charge a little extra for parking. They charge a surcharge for liquor that goes back to the county. Is there anything like that that we have any information on? And I know this is received and filed, but I figure I might as well say this now. So the next time we talk about it, I'll have some information on those particular items.
The one in Arizona is out in the desert.
Okay.
There is nothing around there. You are either camping or you're driving every day.
Okay. But I mean, there's no, like I'm saying, the vendors that sell the particular merchandise.
Oh, yeah, the
they
vendors
get some kickback to the county that it's being held in. You know what I'm saying? Like if you go and let's say park somewhere, for instance. If I go to Illinois, for instance, and I go to a state park, I'm out of state because I'm coming from Wisconsin.
Right.
I'm going to pay more because I'm coming from out of state. So what I'm saying, and as you mentioned in the previous report, I know this 94% is only based on 2.2% of the people that responded. But your figure that of the people that attend Country Thunder was 80-some percent or something like that? 94 is according to 2.2% of the people that responded. So I don't know how true the whole picture is. You know what I'm saying? I don't put much emphasis on 2.2%.
The 29,000, the 94% that were outside of Kenosha County, that actually came from the zip code of the ticket sales.
Okay.
So that's an accurate number.
So basically, we're holding a nice event for people outside of Kenosha County to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I'm going to leave it at that.
I can add something that's major here is that the town of Randall does get, and they are a municipality within Kenosha County.
Oh, yeah.
Town of Randall gets a percentage of everything.
Right.
Good.
So, I mean, we are benefiting.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you.
So the 94% is not responses to a survey. That's just how many are out of town.
Yes.
So, I misconstrued that.
No, only 2% of the 30,000 people responded to
that. Well, that's because you asked them to do it by computer. I thought the 94% was people that did it by paper.
Oh,
and
no.
Were right there with the, you know.
This is by zip code. And this, if you ask anyone that's in the tourism business, is exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Well,
if you get 90% of your attendance from out of your area, that's what you're looking for.
Oh, right. I agree. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with trying to base a study on where money's spent with 2% of the people responding.
Right.
That's what I have a problem with. So the study doesn't even...
How do they decide the president? They call the race on less than 2%.
Oh, yeah.
So
don't get me started on presidential races.
No, but that's what they think is a good number.
Oh, okay. I guess I don't do studies, so that's...
Question?
Yeah, just one.
Go ahead.
Would it be possible for us to get this as a PDF and not necessarily scanned in?
I have it as a PDF. I'll send it to you.
It'll be off. Like an idiot, I should have scrolled down, see if it was there, but I kept looking for the PDF link.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was all... Oh, I just found it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just read like 2:30.
Okay, we do have a motion on the floor to receive and file this report. It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Did you say aye?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard you.
All right. It passes. Resolution number 90. As Supervisor Rice Chair Kubicki started this, why don't you explain it?
Yeah, basically what this resolution is stating, that people within Kenosha County, and we're hoping the state will continue to be able to same-day register and vote. Wisconsin is one of only 8 states in the country that allows that. Our voter turnout within the state here during a presidential election is nearly 70%, and that is basically attributed to same-day voter registration and voting. That's what it stems by. The rest of the country is about 60%. We're 10% higher. Kenosha County itself, in this last presidential election, there was 10,236 same-day registration and votes tallied. Anyway, the city of Kenosha obviously is the greatest at over 6,800. Pleasant Prairie was over 900. Salem, over 600. Summers, nearly 600. Twin Lakes, 300. Paris, Paddock Lake, Wheaton, Silver Lake, Randall, Brighton, Paris, all of those. Everybody, basically, throughout the county, same-day register and vote. I just believe that we should give the working people of this county and the state the ability to register and vote on the day of the election. It's a nonpartisan issue. The governor's own son in the GOP primary of August 14th, same day, registered and voted himself. So that being said, it's a nonpartisan issue. Let's be inclusive, not exclusive, to the voting public out there. That's why I'm promoting this.
Any questions?
More of a comment.
Fire away.
The 600 people from Salem are probably from Illinois. I'm just saying, because I've seen too many Illinois license plates sitting in that parking lot on registration on voting day.
Okay. Vote early, vote often up here too, like Chicago.
Oh, yeah. What concerns me is, while I really don't have a problem with this, but election day comes the same time every year. People can't, like, plan ahead and go register to vote a couple days early, a month early, and the papers are always there at the clerk's offices.
Mm-hmm. If you want to take it away, you're going to increase the cost of the state. It was revised from $5.2 million to $14.5 million. And if you want to do that, you can say, you don't want this. That's fine. Because then you're going to have to register to vote in vehicle registration areas. You're going to have to register to vote in a human service division of the county. You're going to have to register there. You're going to have to hire people to do that in different divisions throughout the state within each county to do that. And that's where that figure from the GAP comes in at $14.5 million. So that $5.2 million that I have written in there, that's been revised to $14.5 million since I wrote the resolution.
You still have the floor.
That's okay.
Okay, Supervisor Hogan.
If people will recall, last year, which was absolutely insane, we had an election virtually every other month.
Mm-hmm.
it was absolutely, absolutely nuts. God help us, we should never ever do that again for any reason. But I'm going through the report from the Government Accountability Board. And they list their cost areas. They're saying that voter list maintenance, were we to get rid of same-day voter registration, or what is it, EDR, I believe they're calling it, $704,000 information technology costs, $1.2 million training and staffing for the GAB, $800,000 public education and outreach, another $1.2 million. And they're saying partner agencies with the Department of Transportation, Health Services, Children and Families, Workforce Development. Transportation is going to be an additional $1.6 million. Department of Health Services, somewhere between $6.2 million and $7.6 million. Department of Children and Families, estimated cost $167,000. Department of Workforce Development, just a little over $1 million. Which, of course, gives you a nice, lovely grand total of somewhere, they're saying, between the $13.1 million to $14.5 million range. It's expensive as hell, I'm not going to lie. And we have one of the highest voter turnouts in the nation, regardless as to who votes and how people feel about that. I think anyone who's very serious about the democratic process and having people participate should be proud of that and would want to preserve that. It's something, to my understanding, that we've actually had for a while and has become part of our heritage, and I don't see it posing a problem or a significant threat, really, to anybody. As long as you're having conversations with your neighbors and they're peaceful and cordial and you're able to communicate, you know, should be fine. So I don't see that there's a reason to get rid of it, especially not with the cost being so high. So from a value standpoint, from a financial standpoint, it does not make good sense to get rid of our current voter registration process.
Any other comments?
Well, I agree totally. This is something that doesn't discriminate against a soul. And it works. It's it's something that is very easy to govern. It's something that's very easy to be checked on. Everyone's treated equally. So I don't see a reason to change a thing here. Is there a motion on the floor for?
No, make one.
I make a motion to pass resolution number 90.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Vice Chair Kubicki, seconded by Supervisor Alderman. Any discussion before we take a vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Report on your budget. Have you fallen behind yet?
Once again, the lion's share of our budget is all in the personnel costs, which takes a few months, and I guess they're not, as of the February report. Oh, the Canvas app now. All right. Did you bring a licking?
No.
So as of earlier today, we didn't have an update, and we couldn't tell you where we were at. But we are fully staffed, and so we're going along at a regular pace, I can tell you that. We haven't had to use outside counsel for legal fees. With the resolution of a couple of famous trials, we don't have too many outstanding civil trials through this account. So we're doing well in that regard, and I hope I can say the same at the end of the year. We're going to be needing some furniture and some machinery, but we haven't gotten on that early in the year. We'll be doing that this quarter, probably. So it's not a very, there's nothing out of line. No real dramatic things to report.
Any questions for Bernie? Okay.
Yeah, just a sort of a jokey comment. Are we going to a secondhand store for furniture, Bernie?
I hope so.
Just a kidding. Just a joke. Get whatever you need.
He is, I am. You heard that.
Well, we don't have that high of a budget in those areas, but we do need a few things.
Okay, thank you, Bernie. Any comments on your various committees about things that are coming up?
I just got one quick question for Supervisor Alderman. Any new news on our gates?
Gates
here?
No. Okay. No new news.
They're installed. They're there.
Yeah, they're worried.
All we're waiting on is the banking system.
Oh, they don't work.
No, they've never been down. Every time I drive by them.
Yeah, they're always
down. We're still dealing with the banking system, and the last I was told that this will be resolved very shortly. But we've been told that. But I mean, this time they said very shortly. So.
Thank you.
The only thing I was going to mention is we are going to have our next meeting of the facilities, highways, parks, and golf meeting at our new facility that we all purchased west of the KD Park at the new Parks Department building. So we're going to hold that our next committee meeting there, which will be the first Monday of April. We're going to have an open house before the meeting so people can tour. And I'll announce that at the county board also, but you know, everyone would be invited there. It's not that far. You can make it out there.
He looks directly at me.
How many miles is that?
Well, my round trip is 59 miles, and I'm a little further than that. So,
you want to get a gas card for that, Terry?
Yeah. You can carpool.
That's right.
You can get there from your place 40 minutes, 35 minutes.
Is that west of Silver Lake Park or Katy Park?
Katy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the west side of Katy.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Highway F.
What day is the meeting, guys?
The first Monday of April. The meeting will be at 6:30, but we're going to have the open house like from 5. I mean, it was a major purchase that the county with the state did. And that's the one that we actually on paper made $400,000. So everybody should take a look at what we did.
Let it burn. Supervisor Hallman?
Just a couple from Human Services. We have a mental health treatment court grant in the process that we will be reviewing in committee for approval, sent on to the county board. I was able to find, at the request of one supervisor in particular, the study and analysis for a number of our treatment initiatives that we've had on the criminal justice side of the humanities, things that we're doing. So I do have that. Additionally, I had a conversation with John Jansen, our Director of Human Services, to try to figure out how we could make the Human Services monthly update stronger. For those of you that probably don't remember or have been paying attention, whichever, we have a monthly update coming from the department that gives us an overview basically of what they're doing and how some of these grant things shake out. So he and I had a conversation about statistical information going on in some of the various divisions that might be more helpful to us in our policy making in terms of including that as part of those monthly reports. So hopefully, I'm confident you should see that in there. There was a third thing, and I don't remember what it is. It just escaped me. Welcome. Thanks.
Call us when you think of it.
Maya?
Sure.
Okay.
I didn't see that you wanted to speak.
Of course I do. From PDAC, I'm happy to report that planning and development is running just smoothly, very well, since George's retirement. I know that Dennis spoke with Maximus. I've spoken with Maximus. They've been hired to come in and do an overview of facilities and planning and development and see where we're going to go from there. So that's moving along. I'm going to get together with Jim probably in the next month or so. The hearing room is on schedule. They are doing their whole revamp. The rest of it is March 27th through April 9th. We have new lights in there now. You've been in the new hearing room?
Yeah.
You've seen the lights in there? It's very nice. So, but they're going to get the sound system all fixed and the video is going to be all fixed too. Paperless. PDAC is up fully. We get everything through the system now and it's really nice. Human Services, they're working on it. They're kind of there. Linda took a refresher course, I understand. And so... this will be going paperless soon, too. And then they're going to start working with Edie for the county board. We're doing youth and governance interviews on the 26th and 27th and 28th. One Tuesday and Wednesday of the end of the month for the next group. Did I miss anything? Okay.
I would ask you, Supervisor Hallman, to check on the study as it pertains to Brookside with physical therapy. They were doing some things. The administration was checking on getting some numbers and putting together, some type of information or study on physical therapy at Brookside, and I'd like to know where that is. Okay?
Sure.
Anything else? All right. No other business. Supervisor Alverman?
No other business that I have, so I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Chambers open. Motion to adjourn, seconded by Vice Chair Kubicki. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We're here. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think he's helpful.